Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. A strict abortion ban is upheld in North Carolina.
Having passed by the requisite 3/5 vote, the House has overridden the governor's veto and the bill becomes law, notwithstanding the governor's objections. So be notified.
The bill bans most abortions after 12 weeks of pregnancy. It goes into effect July 1st. A special election was held in the Pennsylvania House today where Democrats maintain their narrow majority. And along with it, continued control over how the chamber will handle abortion, gun rights, and election law legislation. According to the Associated Press, Heather Boyd beat out Republican Katie Ford for the spot, vacated by Democrat Mike Zabel. He resigned in March after a lobbyist accused him of sexually harassing her. Round two of debt ceiling talks at the White House.
The House Speaker emerged from the Oval Office saying the meeting brought an improvement. Top Biden aides will now engage directly with Kevin McCarthy's team.
So it now gives you a better opportunity.
Here's the president's take.
We'll speak regularly over the next several days, and the staff's going to continue meeting daily.
Some Democrats are already expressing worry that the president will make concessions, namely for expanded work requirements for certain government aid programs. McCarthy says Joe Biden supported that as a senator.
And the only thing we're talking about are able-bodied people with no dependents.
Stephen Portnoy, CBS News, The White House.
The drought in Kansas is greatly impacting farmers. KWCH-TV's Austin Morton.
Lonnie Ruff has farmed here for decades. He says this drought is causing long-term problems.
About 30,000 head of feedlot cattle, and this will be the first year in our history that come August when it's time to cut new crop, we won't have a 10,000-ton carryover silage. It's all going to be used.
Lonnie says the grass is green. It's just not grown enough.
Feeding my cow silage.
He says it costs, but not as much as losing his herd.
I will not sell my cattle. I cannot afford to sell my cattle. I'll feed them and keep them.
There's a growing health concern for soccer players. Here's CBS's Jim Crisula.
Four more former professional soccer players have been diagnosed with chronic traumatic encephalopathy. The degenerative brain disease has been linked to concussions in athletes, combat veterans, and others who have sustained repeated head trauma.
Medical researchers have long said that heading the ball is extremely dangerous and should be phased out. State media says a Chinese fishing boat has sunk in the Indian Ocean. All 39 crew members on board are missing. There's a massive search for survivors. China's believed to operate the world's largest fishing fleet. This is CBS News.
Need to hire quality candidates fast? You need Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now. And AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
A no-holds-barred political conversation. That's Matt Flynn Direct.
Gerrymandering is not democracy. It's commie government. It's fake government. You have somebody that gets 48% of the vote and they get 67% of the seats. That is not democracy. It's fake democracy. It's the appearance of law without the reality or the actuality of law.
Matt Flynn Direct. Weekday afternoons from 3 until 4 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that.
Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Welcome to the 1 o'clock no sour ha ha funny hour. No sour, happy fun time, ha ha power hour. Welcome to the no sour fun time, ha ha power hour.
Oh, she did it.
I got it.
I think she's got it. By George, she's got it.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin for our No Sour Ha Ha Fun Time Power Hour. And speaking of fun time, I am not a big gamer. I think the last time I regularly played video games was Donkey Kong circa 1995.
Oh, I think you're behind a little bit.
So, but this is a game I feel like I could play and would like to play, because I have said many times I am not a journalist, but I do, you know, distribute information. And this is a game where you play a journalist in the town, in the fictional town of Twin Lakes. And the stories you publish, do they help the people of the town prepare for the things that they need to be prepared for? And so I saw this write up about this game, and then I kind of went down the rabbit hole of figuring out what Field Day Lab is. And so I'm so excited to have Sarah Gagnon, who is the creative director of Field Day Lab, which is at the Wisconsin Center for Education Research in Madison, join us to tell us about Field Day Lab, about this game, and all, you know, kind of the educational benefits that it can come from learning how to be a journalist. Welcome to the show, Sarah.
Thanks for having me. It's so great to be here. I'm excited to talk about the game.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess before we jump into the game, before I saw the write-up about the game, I didn't know what Field Day Lab was. So what is Field Day Lab as far as the role that it plays inside of the Wisconsin Education Research Department?
Yeah, so we are at the UW-Madison, and we're part of a group called WCER, Wisconsin Center for Education Research. So we are a research lab, but because our research looks at big data, so it's like we need lots of data, we have a studio that makes kind of like high quality games that get played all over the country. So it's kind of a little bit of, I mean, we wouldn't be making these if we didn't deeply care about having like an impact mm-hmm. on kids and on education. So like I get to really participate with that part of it. But then there is like a big component that we have a research team that's thinking about how do people learn, and games are a really great way to see what people like, how people interact with things and how we can learn. So there's both of that in our work.
So it's computer games, right?
Yeah, they're on computers, not like consoles. And the reason is because our games are intended to be played in schools. So all of our games can be played within a 20 to 40 minute period. You won't necessarily complete the game, but you'll have like a good experience, and it will feel like hopefully hitting some of those educational marks as well, because they've been designed to work in schools. So they all work on Chromebooks. They all, you know, work to work in schools, but also like a lot of the kids play our games outside of school too, because we try to make them fun.
Oh, that's so awesome. So this, the new game is called Headlines and High Water. And so what is the premise of this game? Because you came up with this, right?
Yeah, this was kind of very exciting for me. I worked with Field Day for about 8 years. I was kind of like you, where I didn't have a lot of, I didn't play video games as like my pastime, but my spouse did, and he had started the lab, and I was an artist and just started working with him on designing things. And so I've been doing creative direction with Field Day for 8 years and love video game design. Like, it's okay. So challenging, so hard. And I started thinking about, like, well, if I was going to come up with my own idea for what to do, what would it be? And I came up with this idea. I was thinking about fake news. I was thinking about my own kids and how to teach them about how to digest information. And started thinking, I'm really into, like, philosophy. And I was kind of thinking about this idea of, like, well, if kids are, like, exposed only to, like, can you identify fake news? Have they really been thinking about, like, what is real news?
Yeah.
And what is real news anyway? And that's that question of, like, what is news is where this all started. And so I was like, what if we did a game that was about the professional practices of what news is? Because news is, it's not like true, untrue. It's like this evolving story that's happening, that we're constantly getting closer to the truth, but never quite. It's a mix of subjective and objective mm-hmm. realities, how people feel and think. It's right now. So it's not like history where we can go back and study it. So those are all kind of the thoughts bubbling up in my head. And then we got funding through the UW-Baldwin Award.
We're talking to Sarah Gagnon, who is the creative director of Field Day Lab at UW-Madison, and about the new game called Headlines in High Water, which is basically you play a journalist in a small town, right? And you're trying to gain the trust of the people in the town to be able to be resources and tell you their stories so you can report on it. What are some of the other skills that kids are supposed to learn as they're playing the game?
That's a good question. I mean, this kind of game, we call it a text-based adventure game. And so there's a lot of reading in it. And it's kind of similar to those Choose Your Adventure books that you read, like where you kind of read to a section and then you choose something and you go off and, you know, you have to choose one or two options. And so you learn reading. You also learn, like, what are the skills that journalists need to do their job well? Mm-hmm. And so that's a big thing. Another thing is, like, how to stay on assignment. So your editor gives you an assignment when you get going, and you can kind of talk to anyone and collect anything, but, like, you also do a better job on the story if you actually follow the brief. And so those are kind of some of the things that, because we worked with teachers and journalists in making this game. And so the teachers were very excited about some of those kinds of things. The journalists were excited that we were including things like the kind of skills that they need, like were like tech skills. Like, do you remember to charge your phone?
Oh, wow.
Do you like know how to use your computer? Relational skills, like, are you social? Other skills that the journalists really like was like the basic endurance. Like, do you remember to eat a snack in the morning? Because sometimes journalists, like, once you get going, you are going, you have no breaks. And these, I love this because this is kind of life skills for kids too. Like, if you think about like my 13-year-old, those are kind of all skills that we're struggling with. And like, did you charge your phone? Do you know how to, you know,
did you drink any water today?
exactly. And so, you know, being able to do research, that's part of it. But like when we really broke down what makes a journalist, it's like this whole kind of category of things. And I thought, how cool to be able to inspire kids that this is a cool job. Like,
Yeah. It,
you know, like you have to see if you can get people to trust you, if you can build relationships, if you can prove yourself. So it's not just, you know, a boring office job. This is a pretty cool job to get.
And so the original feedback, though, was that the game was unfair, right?
Yeah.
Because the kids were having a hard time with it. But instead of changing the rules of the game, you tried to incorporate them trying to figure out, why does this feel unfair?
Yeah. When we started, we started early on testing with kids to see what they thought. And over again, kids were saying, this game is unfair. This person wouldn't talk to me. So you're from out of town. You're from like the big city and you come into the small town and you just like get a certain amount of time. that you have to deal with, or that you have to tell your story. And like, if you end up talking to somebody who won't give you any information, how annoying is that? So your trust has to be high enough for that person to talk to you. And the kids are like, that's unfair. Another big thing was the, like, if your camera is bad, and you didn't get to take a picture, that's unfair. And we got that over and over and over again. But you know what? When I had interviewed with my writing partner, Lindy Biller, when we had interviewed the journalists, which we talked to these like the group of five journalists from around Wisconsin, around the country, they were like, currently these days, there's a lot of really unfair situations. We're not given enough time. We're not given enough resources. Media companies are like slashing our budgets. And that to me was like a really important idea. If journalism is essential to democracy, to how we live as a society, like we actually need the journalists to be given resources. And so I thought, well, we can't fix the game. That would be untrue.
Yeah.
So we came up with all kinds of ways to really let the player feel like that feeling of unfairness was exactly how they should feel. But as a designer, we created space for the main character to complain, to be like, oh, these yokels, they're so frustrating. I just wasted all this time. So we did a lot. We did a whole long, like, couple week writing pass to deal with this feedback. And that was really fun.
I'm so glad you didn't change the rules for them, Sarah, because having done some reporting myself, you run into that all the time. Yeah. And even when it's a feel-good story, you know, your restaurant did this thing and I would call and say, hey, we want to talk about your restaurant doing this thing. And it's like, no, I don't want to do that. And is that fair? No, it's not fair, but it's reality. It is.
Yeah. And sometimes the things you do in the game feel like a real waste of time. Like you get to choose whether or not to help your neighbor catch your chickens who have escaped. And you're like, oh, that's a waste of time. But it turns out she's related to somebody in the game. And then that person, like later when you run into them, they're like, oh, you helped her? Like, I'll definitely talk to you. And so we wanted to get the sense that like journalists today are thinking about how they build trust within communities. And that's something that Sue Robinson, who is our the main subject expert we worked with that's here at the UW, this phenomenal thinker. She's written books on trust in journalism. So that was something that we talked about for hours and hours and hours, was how important this idea of trust was to convey in the game.
So with a couple minutes that we have left, where can people find the game, whether they want to play for themselves, whether there is a teacher who thinks it could be interesting for their curriculum?
Yeah, so right now this game is getting played, I think, 2,000 times a week in schools around the country, which is exciting. You can see the game at fielddaylab.wisc.edu. It's also available on BrainPop. It's free. If you just type in headlines and high waters in Google or wherever you search, you can find it.
There you go. Well, this is so cool. I think this is so fun.
I am totally playing that when I get home.
And as more games come out, I would love to have you back to talk about some of the other games that are available, because this is such a cool resource that's right in our backyard.
And I have an idea for a non-traditional superheroine, Sarah, so we can talk about that next time.
Yeah. I love that.
All right. Thank you so much for your time, Sarah. We'll definitely have you back. This is super interesting. I will put all of this on our show notes for today. And when we come back, who's hotter, young Al Pacino or young Robert De Niro? This is Hess Coast, Wisconsin. Never seen him fall. That death of a blind kid sure plays a mean pinball.
Weather brought to you by Taqueria Miyagi, Waukesha's authentic Mexican food truck, which is now open and ready to serve you. Find us at 1610 Lincoln Avenue in the BP gas station parking lot, or call us at 262-278-6590.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
A no-holds-barred political conversation. That's Matt Flynn Direct.
Anybody running against Trump, if he calls them a nasty name, they should hit him back twice as hard. This is not the Marcus of Queensberry gentleman's rules anymore. In politics, certainly not in the Republican Party. Hit him hard.
Matt Flynn Direct. Weekday afternoons from 3 until 4 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app. Log on civicmedia.us.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
This is the debate of the week.
Apparently.
And we need your input. And so we will continue to take your input until the end of the show. But who's hotter? A young Al Pacino.
Okay.
Or a young Robert De Niro? 844-967-2789. Who gets your vote? And we're talking like circa Godfather.
Right.
Like Godfather 2, because De Niro was in the second one. But this comes from a random tweet that a woman put out. She said, I'm at a wedding and having a big debate right now. Please vote. Who was hotter? Young Al Pacino, young Robert De Niro. And after 277,372 votes, it is dead even.
What?
The Twitter poll is 50-50.
Almost 280,000 people voted on who is hotter, a young Al Pacino or a young Robert De Niro, and it's 50-50.
And it's 50-50. and it's I mean, it's a little hard because, you know, you look at them now, you're like, well, they're both in their 70s.
And
but looking at some of the pictures in the retweets and the responses and stuff.
When they were in their prime, as it were.
As it were. Maybe not Don Lemon's prime.
They may be not Don Lemon prime, but prime.
Seeing the pictures of these men when they were young, mm-hmm. They were both very attractive. Were both very, very attractive.
I found this an easy pick.
I found this an easy pick too. Who's yours?
Al Pacino.
Really?
By a landslide.
Oh, I think Robert De Niro was so much cuter when he was younger.
Good, then you can have him and I'll pick up.
Really?
Yeah.
I think Al Pacino was cute, but...
Oh, he had those big, soulful, big brown eyes.
Yeah.
Robert De Niro...
He also played some crazy... Like, also played, like, psychos, and so I don't know...
But I think Robert De Niro played more psychos than Pacino did.
Did he?
De Niro was in Taxi Driver, the horrible, scary movie, Cape Fear. Wasn't that De Niro?
I think so.
He played some scary...
He didn't really play as many, like... Did either of them really play, like, heartthrobs, though?
Well, Pacino was in Godfather, though.
I know, but was he considered a heartthrob in Godfather?
Probably. And Jimmy Caan was, too.
I mean, because they're still, like, murdering gangsters that I feel like it's more the complexity of the role versus, like, Leonardo DiCaprio in Titanic.
Well, I'm just being blatantly superficial right now.
As a young, because you were more of the age of... watching them in their prime. Like, by the time I was, like, watching movies, they're a lot older than me.
Sure.
So I can look at pictures and be like, oh, they were very handsome. These are guys that I probably would have had teenage crushes on. Mm-hmm. But like, you lived it. And so as a young person, did you also think Al Pacino your number one? Or who was your number one in like the 70s? 70s, 80s?
Oh, boy. It wasn't either of those two.
Okay.
It was probably Casey of the Sunshine Band. I don't remember.
I don't even know what that person looks like.
It was a... Anyway. I just think it's an easy call.
Oh, I don't think
there's any comparison whatsoever.
Really? You don't find young Robert De Niro attractive whatsoever?
Moderately. Only moderately.
Did you look at some of these pictures?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Doesn't do it.
Doesn't do any tingling anywhere in your
not
body.
A tingle lackage.
All right. Well, we want to hear from you. If you didn't find either of them attractive, but who in your the 70s era was you're like, oh man,
this is my guy.
They really. And if you're prefer females, you can also list some of the women. But I thought this. I love that this debate on Twitter, and this Twitter poll got so much attention.
Do you think that she ever expected almost 300,000 people responding to that?
I think some of the responses, like her responses to this thread is like, this is the most attention I've got on Twitter, I think, ever. But it's so funny to see people's responses and like they're like them posting pictures as their rebuttal of what like, and like, you know, some people are like, Al Pacino's never been hot, and everyone just like, very, very adamant about their. These are the three responses: either adamant that it's obviously Al Pacino, adamant that it's obviously Robert De Niro, or can't believe that this is a 50-50 tie.
That's really interesting, though, that it's 50-50. I find that fascinating.
That people are so split.
Yeah, and so evenly. That just never happens.
I know. And we have a pretty big sample size to go with it as well. But now I'm interested to try to do a survey of their... I mean, they both have done so many movies. Yeah. Like, I'm on both of their IMDb's right now. And it's like, man, they have done a lot of films.
Oh, and I think Robert De Niro especially has done a lot more comedies than Pacino has done.
Especially in his later years.
In his later years, yeah.
I mean, Robert De Niro is pretty... And speaking of Robert De Niro, I mean, he clearly has something because he's still having kids at 79.
Yeah, that's a whole nother show.
Do you have thoughts?
Ew.
You think... I mean, do what you want, but it's just like, is there anything medically with old sperm that, like, affects the baby? Or is it just like, guys can just keep fathering children until they're dead?
Methuselah. Yeah.
All right. Well, when we come back, it's been 5 years of legal sports gambling, not necessarily in Wisconsin. But my question to you is, do you gamble on sports more than you did 5 years ago? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. What are your sports gambling habits these days? We'll be right back.
Talking the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
And taking names in the process. This is The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
CBS News Brief. The North Carolina State House voted to override the governor's veto and reinstated a bill banning most abortions after 12 weeks of pregnancy. Democratic State Representative Diamond Stanton Fitt Williams was disappointed.
Ultimately, what I needed and what so many other women and folks need in this time are highly trained medical professionals and the freedom to follow their advice.
In a critical special election in Pennsylvania, Democrats managed to hold on to the state house. Still no deal to raise the debt ceiling. CBS's Ed O'Keefe in Washington.
Another meeting between the president and top Republicans without a deal.
Default is not an option. America pays its debts, pays its bills.
The stalemate now has a firmer deadline. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen warning the U.S. government won't be able to pay its bills potentially as early as June 1st.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
When it comes to hair and makeup artistry, there is only one salon that you need, Raven and Blonde. Their stylists are passionate about their work and committed to giving you the best service possible. From precision cuts to perms, balayage to dimensional color service and more, the Raven and Blonde stylists do it all. Book your appointment today at ravenandblonde.com. That's ravenandblonde.com. Raven and Blonde, where hair and makeup artistry meets exceptional service. 157 South First Street, Milwaukee.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Hello? I'm a Marine.
No matter how you served.
My buddies from the Army are all gone now. I'm really alone.
No matter what you're going through.
I keep getting calls about the bills, and I'm trying to get a job. I feel so stuck.
We are here for you. If you or a veteran in your life is experiencing thoughts of suicide, dial 988, then press 1 to reach the Veterans Crisis Line.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Promise I really totally care who wins. If there's a net or a hoop or a hole in the ground, I hope they get it in. If they want to go to all the bases, I hope they do. If they're supposed to run past a line or whatever, I hope they do that too. Sports go sports.
Do you gamble on sports more than you did 5 years ago? Well, to a certain extent, I hope if you gamble on sports at all now, I would hope that it's more than it was because it's been 5 years. As of Sunday, it was the 5-year anniversary of the Supreme Court overturning the Professional and Amateur Sports Protection Act, launching what has become a massive legal sports betting industry. Yeah. And I was just curious as far as, you know, we have this new sports book that's at Potawatomi. You can do sports betting at Oneida. Overall, if you're betting in Wisconsin on sports, you need other sources. You know, but regardless, you know, it's a
big thing.
It is a big, big thing. It is a booming business. That is not only is it's inescapable in the fact that it's advertised to you, right? Like DraftKings and FanDuel, like that is like commercials while you were watching the game being like, hey, don't you want to bet on this?
Yeah.
And so it's like it's just so interesting to me of what, because I don't bet. Like, I like my money. And I don't bet. I did this weekend. I made a bet with my brother. And he said, you are too confident, so I know not to bet you because... And I said, yeah, I only bet what I know I'm right.
And what was the bet worth?
It was worth nothing. I think I said, I will bet you $100 that I'm right on this. And of course, it was on whether or not the number one cause of death for children and now is guns.
Oh.
And at first he didn't believe me. And I goes, I will bet you $100. And he's like, you're too confident. Like, and then he started looking into the data and started...
So he wasn't going to take that chance.
No. But because I really don't. It's just not my inclination to bet on things. And I don't know if that comes from having more doubt that I will be wrong or just leaving the... I just don't have enough money that I want to just play with and I'm willing to lose. But that is... I don't know if I'm in the minority, but...
You're certainly not alone.
Certainly not alone. But there's a lot of people who, you know, it's not thousands of dollars, but you put $20 on the game and you win $100 or whatever. I mean, I would say to the extent husband Mike, like I think he'll look at the odds at the beginning of the season. I think the last couple seasons, like he's looked at the odds of Packers winning the Super Bowl.
Okay.
And we'll put like $100 down on the end of the very beginning of the season. You know, if it's like 13-1 odds or whatever, like if it works out, that's a lot of money.
Right.
And I think he's done it with the Brewers, but he's not like they're betting on every game. And so it's just like casually, like, do you casually bet on sports? Do you
dabble?
If you do fantasy football, I guess that's technically sports betting.
Definitely.
The leagues I've always been in are just, you know, friendly. I think it's like $20. And I think the winner, whoever wins, I don't even know if we did that this year, whoever wins has to like buy happy hour. So it's like you still spend it on the group anyway.
So it's a wash, yeah.
It's more bragging rights. But, you know, some of those leagues are, there's much more money involved. But I'm just so interested in the 5 years since this has become so dominant. What are your sports gambling habits?
And what are the avenues you choose?
Yeah.
Because there's so many options now.
Because that's when we had Dr. Mike on the show during football season. That was kind of the bets he would recommend, like the over-under and all the different, right. You know, and parlays. And like, that's the thing. There's an entire different lexicon when it comes to betting that have you seen Air yet?
No.
But you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
The Nike movie?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. There's a beginning scene with the main character, Matt Damon's character, stopping over in Vegas and just making a bunch of sports bets. And it's kind of setting up the character... likes to take risks, but he wins all of his sports bets basically in X amount of thousands of dollars, and then loses it all on the craps table.
Oh man!
Because it's like one thing to a certain extent with sports betting, it's like with enough knowledge, that's the reason that there are odds, right? Is like you can watch and see the players who are injured or you know what the matchup is, and obviously you still have to play the game. But if you're knowledgeable about the game, you might think that you have a little bit of an edge.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. You can call and or text at any time from the 608. I only can bet when I go to Illinois or some other state that has it, and I can go online. I drop by Pottawatomie to see it over the weekend. It's harder to do this here because you have to be on site. Vegas is where I do most of my sports betting, and I'm sure you're in plenty of company.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like... when in Vegas, right?
Right.
But here are some of the funny, like the stats to just kind of blow your mind with sports betting, the sports betting world to highlight what kind of 5 years of legalization has looked like. But in the meantime, if you would like to weigh in on what's your sports gambling habits look like, you partake at all, partake a little bit, not at all, 844-967-2789. So $97 billion. That's how much Americans bet on sports in legal jurisdictions with consumer protections last year.
$97 billion?
$95 billion.
$95
billion, and that is more money than the amount spent on ride-sharing, coffee, or streaming services.
Wow.
That's a lot of money.
That's, I had no idea.
It's a big business. So the next number is 71%. That is the percentage that two sports betting companies, DraftKings and FanDuel, control of the U.S. market. So DraftKings and FanDuel own 71% of the market. And so despite taking in 10% of wagers, these companies have struggled to turn a profit.
What?
So they have, that's what's interesting. So basically, they have 70% of the market. They take 10% of your wager, and they still are not, that FanDuel recorded its first quarterly profit last year. And DraftKings has yet to report a profitable quarter. How is that possible?
I don't
understand. What is their expenditures that their overhead is so high that they can't? In a 95, so like, what is that? 70% of 95 billion. And then you take 10% of that and they're not making money? What?
Yeah, that seems somewhat suspect.
I did that. I mean, that's right. That's the equation that you would probably get, right? As far as 70, if consumers are spending $95 billion, 70% of that is going to either DraftKings or FanDuel. They're taking 10% of those wagers.
And not making a profit.
And then not making a profit. Like, what are they spending their money on? Okay, 33. That's the number of states that currently have legal sports betting.
Oh.
We do not. Well, we have some, but not like...
limited.
It's limited to... the casinos, certain reservations, casinos. Another four states have legalized sports wagering.
How is that different?
I don't know.
Other than using a different word.
But don't have any sports books operating yet. I don't know what the difference between wagering and betting is. It seems like those would be synonyms. You can look that up while I do the next stat. Three. The three most populous U.S. states... California, Texas, and Florida have not legalized sports gambling. They account for 26% of all teams in major North American pro leagues, but no legalized gambling in any of those three states.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
This is from sportslingo.com. What is the difference between a wager and a bet? In sports betting, a wager refers to the amount of money risked on an outcome. A bet refers to both the action of placing a wager and informally the money risked.
That makes what?
Because of the similarities, the two can be used synonymously in the world of sports betting. It's the same thing.
So I don't.
I'm not sure how they're. State laws or something in.
Something is,
in there.
Is weird here. And then the last stat, 45%. The number of women joining sportsbooks apps jumped 45% last year.
Really?
Marking the third straight year that new women users exceeded men. DraftKings said that bets on women's sports had increased 61% annually last year.
I want to hear from people who win money on sports bets. 844-967-2789-844-96-PARTY. Do you do this regularly? Do you win regularly? Do you do this regularly and never win like my husband when he buys lottery tickets?
I mean, that's... Does he also? Mike buys lottery tickets.
That's the only thing Paul gambles on.
Okay.
Is lottery tickets.
There is something, like, that hope is strong. Because now I never even thought about the lottery. Never was like, oh, even when it was huge, my brother would be like, oh, like, it's too big not to buy a ticket. But now that Mike pretty regularly, and then he'll be driving, he'll hand me the ticket and goes, look up and see if these numbers won anything. And of course, we've never won anything. But even if you didn't win like the big jackpot, like even just to randomly win like $100,000 off the lottery is like keeping that hope alive. I can understand why people pay a couple bucks for however many times a week that they do it.
And that's what it is. It's for, at least for my husband, who I would say is relatively cheap. The $2 is something he can live with.
Yeah.
Because
the upside is so great.
Right. He wouldn't go somewhere and bet $100 a hand on a game of 21. You know?
Blackjack?
Yeah. That too.
That too. So we're asking you, what's your sports gambling habits? Because Sunday was the 5-year anniversary of the Supreme Court lifting the federal ban on sports gambling in the U.S., which then domino affected into a multi-billion dollar industry that's transformed how we watch and enjoy and talk about and experience sports. 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. We have a comment on the YouTube live from Michael. I second with the texter from the 608. Wisconsin's laws do not make it easy to gamble on sports. I'm sure I would bet more if I could do it from my couch. And then I think this is a comment on how these companies like FanDuel and DraftKings aren't profitable. He added, LOL, those ads are not cheap.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that.
Which is true. If you think about what the ad cost is for those prime time or even, you know, any of the NFL slots, any of the NBA finals slots or the playoffs and stuff like that, it's probably right. Like those are not cheap ads. But I also is that proven that you just need the constant reminder of like, hey, you can bet with us. Did you know that you could bet with us? Why don't you bet with us to know that they exist? Because to a certain extent, I feel like the cost of acquisition of once you have someone in the door who wants to bet, you're like, we got you.
Yeah. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY, being joined by Civic Media's own Chad Holmes.
Chad Holmes, how you doing, buddy?
Doing good. I find this very interesting because back in the day, I did a little sports betting. And I think you can't make it too easy.
Oh, because it's slippery really slope?
I tell you, every year I tend to go to Vegas one time. In fact, I go, you know, during the summer to play a little poker. I like doing that. But I did a little sports betting, and all of a sudden, all you do is watch these numbers. And I almost won big one time, but that's what everybody says. So, again, I tell you, it's one of those situations. I did a parlay. I got the first four games right. I was going for the fifth for, like, $1,200 because I bet $50. And then I lost, and it's like, you want to rip your hair out. But the big picture on it is I do like to gamble a little bit.
Okay.
But I rarely do it because it's not easy to do here.
Yeah.
I think that's actually a good thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we shouldn't be making it easier, Chad.
No, you shouldn't, because I do think there's a lot of unintended consequences. It sounds like easy money, not just for the people, but I think for business and the state, too. And it's really there's a lot of additional costs with it. And I think that making it too easy makes, especially for the people that you're targeting, the people that can get hurt really badly.
Absolutely. Well, Chad, you want to stick through the break and you can tell us what's coming up on your show on the other side?
Sure.
All right. Well, stick tuned. Chad Holmes will join us on the other side of this commercial break. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Numerically in the allotted time. Let's disenfranchise their audience and see their revenues decline.
Side of this commercial break. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere, and we are joined by Chad Holmes of the Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. But your topic got me thinking back because back in the day, unfortunately now I'm too busy to get myself into that kind of trouble, but I got some gambling stories I can tell you. That's one reason why it shouldn't be that easy, because when it's easy, you can get yourself into a situation when you leave a casino and you're pounding on your steering wheel.
Yeah.
And you know, it's interesting, though, that you say that, Chad, because I can think of news stories over the years of some innocuous bookkeeper for a company, and they find out years later she's been embezzling from them for decades to feed her gambling habit. I mean, this actually does happen.
It certainly does. I mean, it was a while back. I know that, Kristen, you lived in Southern California. I lived in Southern California for a year. And while I was trying to, you know, a couple friends of mine were trying to break into, you know, the entertainment business, and they had said, hey, come on out. Have some fun for you're spinning your wheels right now. And I was, you know, kind of, I said, let's try to do something, do a lot of fun. So I get out there, and I'm trying to find work. And when I'm not working, I go over to this casino, the Marengo. And I
remember those ads.
So easy. Yeah, it's so easy to get yourself in a bad situation. You really do. I mean, so I have, on the one hand, I love playing poker. I love it. I really do. But at the same time, I would not want it to be so close to me where I would be able to go do it all the time, because it's just, it's trouble. And I really have of two minds when it comes to the whole gambling issue, and you kind of sparked old memories with your topic.
Unlock some core memories. it's interesting, because I also think about, like, if it's not sports, we certainly have a lot of casinos around Wisconsin, and there's a lot of people who go, and that's their afternoon entertainment. Just put some money in those slots, see what happens.
Well, it's different, though, if you have a certain amount of money set aside to play with.
Yeah.
As opposed to a number of years ago, my sisters and I took our mom to Pottawatomie in downtown Milwaukee, playing nickel slots, which was my mother's big expenditure. And the woman next to her hit the jackpot, and she jumped up and said, this is great. Now I can pay my property taxes.
Oh, my gosh.
And we all kind of looked at each other and thought, well, maybe you shouldn't have done that. But, I mean, I'm glad you can pay your property taxes now, but that might not have been the best use of your money.
There's a good rule to go by when you go to a casino. Do not bring any cards so you can go to an ATM. Have the amount of money you're willing to spend for entertainment. That's why I always like it. It's entertainment. It's like going out to a ball game. How much are you going to spend at a ball game? If you're willing to do it at a casino once, you know, in a long while, but do not ever go to an ATM machine.
That's really smart.
Then you got trouble.
Yeah, that's really smart, Chad. Yep.
All right, Chad. Well, what do you have coming up on today's show?
I'm going to be taking a page from you ladies, because sometimes I feel like I'm not doing enough positive stuff. And the second hour, I'm going to be all positive here today, because we've had some stories that's kind of grate at you a little bit, because they're important to talk about, but once in a while I want to talk about a few things that I've seen that are positive. And I'm going to do that in hour number two. Also going to be talking about, when I'm done with my show today, I'm going over to do a ball game, a softball game, and the JV coach has an 18-month-old little boy who is diagnosed about three and a half weeks ago with leukemia.
Oh.
And part of the game today is a fundraiser. And it's really a great example of our community coming together to try and help out this young couple and their little boy. And she also happens to be somebody that's a JV coach at Wausau West. So I'm going to talk about that, try to make sure everybody, along with myself, is over there later this afternoon.
That's great, Chad.
That's great, Chad. Yeah. And I hear you on the, we talk about that a lot. It's like the balance between the important and self-preservation of just not always talking about the thing that gets you angry and gets the audience angry.
As we always say, Chad, right, every once in a while you need some whoop, 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 boing.
Exactly. So I'm going to take some of that advice, and we're going to have some good smiles here to add points. I may, early on, a couple of things. I may mention Ron DeSantis. That always annoys me, but I'm going to get off that really quickly.
Meatball. I mean, how can you be mad about Ron DeSantis when his new nickname is now Meatball Ron? I mean, how do you say that with a straight face, right?
And it's perfect because the guy's anti-education. So it's the perfect meatball.
Perfect
that
meatball.
That annoys me because education is so big.
All right, Chad, this is my last question, because as Jane and I look ahead into this summer and we want to do some road trips.
We really do.
Mm-hmm.
When is the best time to come to Wausau this summer? What event should we not miss?
That's a good question. I got to find out when the balloon rally is this year. That's always a good one. We got this festival coming up on the 17th of June as well. It's bringing together all groups. It's basically a world festival. It's on the 400 block. It was the first one was last year, was part of it. It was so much fun. You see people from the Hispanic community, the Hmong community, every community in our community, as I say it twice. But that's always a wonderful event. That's coming up in about a month as well. So those are a couple. That's a big
question. Put you on the spot. Will you keep thinking about us and let us know when we should come up?
I will.
And I bet the food at that event must be spectacular.
Yeah.
Oh, it is. It is fantastic. It was really a huge success last year, and they got it set up again in just about a month.
All right. Well, stick around for the Chad Holmes Show, which is coming up next. He's on every Monday through Friday from 2 to 4 p.m. on WXCO Wausau Bull Falls Radio. Thanks for calling in, Chad. This is fun.
Hey, I listen to you every day while I do my prep work. So
you're
doing
that's
a great,
great
job. I love it.
All right. Well, have a great show. We'll talk to you soon. And then for us, we have a packed day tomorrow. Greg Bach is back.
Yes.
He is healthy again. But we have Craig Gilbert, former reporter for Journal Sentinel, now fellow at Marquette, I think the Lubar Center. But he's been writing on the shifting changes of the suburbs. So we're going to talk to him about what the projections look like for politics in Wisconsin. Then Scott Gordon from Tone Magazine in Madison is going to talk about the importance of local politics and local control. Then we're going to, it's also along with AAPI month, it's also Jewish Heritage Month.
Fantastic.
And we're going to talk to a rabbi who sounds, we talked on the phone last week, and he's going to be very fun. And he has an organization called Own Your Judaism, which is a lot about just the spirituality of any of us, and then whether it's your religion or not, but like people who have been kind of lost or not feeling as connected to the religion, but the teachings of those religions are still very attracted to. So I'm excited to talk to him. And then we're also going to talk to someone about mental health, because we're already in the second half of this month, but it's also Mental Health Awareness Month.
Flying by.
So flying by. Well, today was super fun. Thank you for texting. Thank you for calling. Thank you for being a part of the show. We'll see you tomorrow at 11. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving.
Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This